listen to another episode of Hackerverse Radio, your independent free speech media source. Hola, escucha la Hackervoice Radio. Esta la noche nunto hora, and this is Hackervoice Radio, the Spanish edition.
Okay.
I have no idea what came over me. Just had to say that. Yes, it's 9 o'clock, and that means hack time. We've got some heavy controversial news about Google. Now, for our listeners that may know. We've been pretty much talking about Google for the past 3 days in a good light, in a positive light. Now, what I'm about to say is heavily biased to my own way, which is my opinion, and does not reflect the opinion of, let's say, Planet or whoever else. The story is, and it's actually a global story, which is pretty interesting, about Google, and I did say that Google will be very heavily featured in the news these 2 weeks. And I was right. So what's happening is that apart from the story that Google are being subpoenaed by the US government, Google have now had to create a new censored web browser for the Chinese population. So the story goes that the Chinese government would not allow Google to run their website behind the firewall unless it was censored. Now, Google were the only search engine up till now that were uncensored. Yahoo, MSN, and all those other ones were. So what's happened now is Google have created a new, fresh, censored web browser behind the firewall that basically censors certain queries to its search engine. But having said that, it is also the only web browser search engine that actually states in a disclaimer at the bottom of its page that it is actually censoring your results due to local and government laws of China. And also, furthermore to that, it is actually another domain called www.google.cn. Okay, now here, this is the point where it gets a bit tricky. The tricky part is that even though this is sort of like a brand new search engine created by Google, and I'm not going to go into the whole kind of politics of this, but you're still able to gain access to the uncensored global search engine, www.google.com, past the firewall, as they were able to before by circumventing the firewall. So, in actual fact, not much has changed. I'm going to leave my opinions to this a little bit later on, but I just want to see if what you've heard about this or and what your kind of opinions are.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Well, there's nobody else here.
Yeah,
I don't really have that much of an opinion on it. You can't really fuck around with the Chinese government, is one. So if they do want to operate in China, they are going to have to do as the Chinese government says. They are so bloody strict over there.
Yeah.
that you have no choice. Mm. You know, it's either be blocked or obey.
Sure.
So they've set up a Google China portal, and they're limiting the search results. I actually saw two or three stories on this, and some of the search terms that they're blocking is you know, quite shocking. It's things like democracy, freedom, Tibet, and all kinds of things like that.
Hacker Voice Radio.
I don't think they give a toss, to be honest. And, you know, shocking things like that, that they are making them block. I think my opinion is that it's a shame, but I can't say it's a massive surprise, to be honest with you.
Okay.
That's China.
Yeah. The way I see it is, obviously, the general feel of the last few episodes was that Google, as we all know, is a company, is a corporation. Their main aim is profit. Now, anybody with any sense knows that China is a massive market. They did this, one, to appease the Chinese government to be able to gain access to that market. However, they are still prevented from providing certain services to China. And these are paid-for services. Another thing is that they need to get information out to people because they're a search engine. And they needed to do this. And in a good way, in a sense, and the only way to do this is to actually abide by the rules of the government. I personally don't see Google being any more evil, and I don't see them discrediting their "don't be evil" motto. If you see what I mean by doing this,
yeah.
It's also putting them in a very sticky situation, because obviously, if people remember that they are currently undergoing a battle with the U.S. government. Which means that they've become a sort of quasi-enemy of the states of the US by collaborating with the Chinese government. Now, we all know that the Chinese government and the US government aren't best buds, you know. You don't see them drinking beer in a pub together and smoking a ciggy. And Google is basically sticking two fingers up at the US, although completely unrelated matters. But this is what it looks like, and you know they're not too clever. So I mean the U.S. government. So this is the way they'll probably see it: is they're sticking two fingers up at the U.S., going "yeah, fuckers," and collaborating with the Chinese government. So they're not treading on good ground as far as that kind of stuff goes. As far as civil liberties go, they've totally messed that up now with this specific thing, because they were really a kind of a rebel, if you see what I mean. That's how I felt. They were the kind of rebel compared to all the other search engines, and now they've shattered that kind of thing completely to shreds by agreeing to do this. However, they state many times over, and as well this night on the news, they said that you can still access, which is a bit pointless, you can still get to www.google.com, which is of course uncensored. So you know, it's a bit fucked up.
So if you can still get to google.com in China,
yeah,
and now you have the option of the censored google.cn.
Yeah. Which one do you think they'll use?
Exactly. Why the hell bother? Unless they're about to block google.com pretty soon.
I think that was the thing that was going to happen.
Maybe that's it. They've gotten by the nuts and said, look, google.com, it's going to be blocked.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time, boys. Now, you can either get on board with us, you can cut down your search results to the way we like them here, or you can just lose out entirely. Yeah. Now, they're a business. You know, they're not going to be stupid enough to go, no, bollocks to you, China,
yeah.
you know, and all your millions and millions of people and potential bloody users and customers for us. You know, you can all sod off. We stand by our principles. Oh, shit, look at the revenue going down.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to play ball. I just don't think they've got a choice.
Oh, definitely.
Whereas their grumble with the US, at least they do have a choice.
Yeah.
They're not being forced to hand over the data. They're being asked.
Mm.
So they're saying, well, you're asking us? Oh, okay, we've got a choice. My choice is no, sod you.
Yeah.
How do you like them apples? As long as they've got a choice, they'll say no and they'll stand up for the users. If they haven't, then they just haven't got a choice. And they'll go along with it because they have to.
Yeah. It's a bit... I don't know. I mean,
it's a bit mad.
I'm
yeah.
just fucking glad I'm not fucking living in China. That's one thing.
Yeah, honestly, same here.
To be quite honest, you know, I was watching. I don't know if you noticed that AOL advert about the internet and stuff.
Is that the one where like it says, "Is the internet good? Yeah, is the internet
yeah.
bad?"
Yeah, it's like a mini documentary. It was. Like, at first, this is a new one. I just saw, like, I don't know, I was watching Channel 4 or something, and it came on. I was like, shit, this is a really good documentary about the internet. I really need to fucking see this, the way it was put. And it was like, you know, the internet is the only is the only source of true freedom of information and true freedom of speech. It's like it crosses boundaries and states and feuds and wars and stuff like that. It brings millions of people together and all that kind of stuff. And then it says, "Is the internet? But is the internet a good thing?" And then it fucking it's AOL. So just really heartbroken at the end of that. Very disappointed that it was AOL that was doing it. But I mean, it was. It's a very good ad. It's just a shame that it's an AOL ad. Because honestly, the internet is a fucking beautiful thing, but not if you're an AOL subscriber. Well, I mean, maybe they've gotten a little bit better, but you remember the back in the days of AOL where you had to run their proprietary browser and it would only work if you dialed up through their dialing fucking thing. Then what the fuck were they doing, man? Yeah, let's just screw things up. Oh, fucking bullshit.
I mean, I used to be on CompuServe before they were bought out by AOL.
Yeah.
And even us CompuServe users used to take the piss out of AOL users. Because they were just the noobs of the noobs of the noobs, basically. Yes. They were the worst people on the internet. If you saw an email address that ended in AOL.com or dot whatever, it was just, oh, no, don't trust them, don't talk to them. Yeah. We shun those people. They are bad noobs.
It's true. It's so true.
Oh, they were just the worst. And CompuServe wasn't that much better, to be honest.
Yeah. I remember...
That was all proprietary software. Yeah. And, I mean, we had a fucking field day when... they let you use third-party browsers, web browsers, through their dial-up system.
Yeah.
Because it was just the CompuServe system, and, you know, you couldn't use Mosaic back then. This was before Internet Explorer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, no, you can only use our browser, and it doesn't render HTML very well. It's shit. But that's all you've got, so get on with it.
Yeah.
And then, after a lot of pressure, they said, all right, and if you dial into our system... you can use pretty much any program, and that's fine. Oh, we were dancing in the street on that day.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy times.
I remember that times, actually. I mean, I was never subscribed to any ISP that forced me to use any proprietary software to dial in, which actually narrowed things down very slightly. And this was the times when I was noobish of noobish. You know, even though, I mean, for most of my hacking life, I was actually offline. I was doing things for myself, hacking for myself, writing games for myself, just because I was fucking bored, you know. Didn't have a lot of money, you know, preteens, didn't know many people that were into the same thing as I was. So I just did things solo. When I started really getting into BBS and getting into the whole internet side of things, I was dialing to certain systems like universities and colleges and stuff like that through their systems and through their daemons. I was actually through most part, pardon me, through daemon when it was offering 50, 56k, 54k, something like that, bits a second. And then there's like UK Online and those kind of free dial-up ISPs came up with obviously the pay per minute kind of thing. I was just hopping around loads of those, so I had like loads of dialers, just like I'll go in this one today and use that one and whatever. So it's weird how that kind of matured. But I have to say that for the most part, the proprietary dial-up systems like AOL were really, really due to the noobish crowd. And I'm talking like, you know, grandmothers and stuff like that. And people that just had no fucking clue that there were really better things out there than that, because they were drawn in by the advert.
I don't remember there being that many options at the time either. Yeah. There wasn't a great many UK ISPs back when I first got into it. That's why I went with CompuServe, because they had points of presence in most major cities.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean about five cities in the entire UK. It was like London, Birmingham, Manchester, somewhere else, and Glasgow.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to call. Yeah. And this is before the days of really cheap phone calls as well.
Yeah.
You know, you had to worry about
how long you're spending, yeah.
Yeah. Because not only were you making a call to, I was in the Midlands at the time, mm-hmm. and it was 14.4K to Birmingham, or you could get a 28.8 to London.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting down with a pen and paper working it out. And if I was going to do a lot of downloading, which wasn't much in those days at those speeds, I'd actually dial London, because it would work out cheaper.
Mm.
If I had to get something big, dial London, get it, hang up the phone.
I know, because back in that time, for myself, I was using an Amstrad, and you had the coupler, so it's a case of finding a gateway that you know about, such as a university. Most part universities basically would have dial-in systems, so you dial in, you'll be like, who are you, what's your password, bang, you're in. It's like a proxy, like, well, they were acting as an ISP for their remote users, you know, like scholars and whatever, you know, they needed internet access to write their whatever. I don't know what the fuck they were using their systems for. I wasn't really interested in their systems. I didn't want to break them, because obviously I was fucking using them, you know. So I was most part just like, shit, you've got a pretty fast link. And like 56 back in that time was very fast. So I was happy with that. And it's a case of either trying to, you know, red box them or something like that to make the call, which is for the most part a big thing. I know in America, whereby the people would actually use their speaker of their Ataris and their kind of computer systems to basically get a free call on the ISP and then connect through that. To get free internet access, if you see what I mean.
That's some war game shit there, man.
Yeah, and that's basically what for the most part, you were forced to do as a kid. You know, there was no chance mum was going to be like, yeah, fucking, I'm going to be paying for a £200 phone bill every month because you like to, you know, go on the internet. And that time it was just a meaningless thing to adults, you know. Mm. For most part, everyone, they just didn't know what the fuck it was. But it was weird, because you spent most of your life on a computer and everybody thinks you're a loner, whereas you're actually talking to thousands of people. You know, you could have like hundreds of friends from all around the world, But the perception of people externally too would think that you're just alone on your computer typing away at a keyboard. So that was the kind of thrill of it, was being able to talk to these people that you know you're never going to meet, that are across the world from you, like China, you know, India, America, South America, Canada, and not a lot from the UK that I could really find. But that was a big thrill. So that's basically what drove me to do those, you know, a little bit illegal acts.
I always found it amazing back then when you're using such slow modems and you'd start talking to someone from, say, the States or further into Europe, like Germany, and just how quickly you could talk to them and how quickly the response came back.
Yeah,
that always amazed me back then.
That's precisely what I mean, you know, that thrill of being able to talk to these people.
A total stranger. Yeah. Where are you from? I'm from Pennsylvania, USA.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't really know where that is, but it's a long bloody way away. And every time you type, it just comes up like that. It's incredible.
Yeah. Precisely my point, you know. And I don't know if you share the same views as me, but that's you know, that kind of thing where you could be on the computer and people would just think you were that dork, that internet geek sort of thing, a loner. But in actual fact, you could be the fucking the leader of a group of elite wares, rippers and crackers and stuff like that, and nobody would ever know that you have like global respect because you have this kind of mafia thing. You know, that was the most fun thing, and especially in the kind of BBS days, that was it, and you just didn't give a fuck if you. Didn't have a lot of friends in RL and stuff like that, so that's what kind of really stuck with me throughout the years, and I guess that's one of the reasons why I still am on IRC.
That reminds me, when is RL getting updated to the new version?
I think it's 2006.
Oh, yeah. Not long now.
Actually, 2006 is now.
Yeah, that's
what's
now.
Happening. there's probably beta testing it.
Yeah, RL version 2.0, final beta.
Code name, Warthog.
Can't be a Microsoft product, man. They're calling everything something begin with a V at the minute.
Yeah.
Is it Vista? What's the other one?
Vienna.
The black comb? Vienna, that's it. They're going to run out of V words eventually. Yeah. 10 years vagina. From now, they'll call an operating system Vagina. Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Microsoft Vagina.
All ports are open.
All three.
Oh, I can't wait to do a penetration test.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Mm. I'm glad. Oh, geek humour. Anyway, where are we?
Well, speaking of Microsoft,
mm-hmm.
You know that whole thing about Microsoft being closed source and everything?
I do believe I've heard that, yes.
Well, apparently in the news today, which is pretty new news, off the basically keyboard, I can't say off the prints, but anyway.
Microsoft, straight off the monitor.
Yeah, straight off the hot monitor. Microsoft Corporation said Wednesday that it will license its... I'm sorry, I can't do this with a straight face. Microsoft Corporation said that Wednesday it will license its Windows source code to comply with a European Union antitrust ruling. But in an effort to stop the cloning of its operating system, I don't know why somebody will, developers, they could clone it but make it better. But anyway, that's just another thing. Developers will still have to pay an unspecified amount for the code. This is in addition, this is the cream of the article. In addition to the 12,000-page pages of technical documentations and 500 hours of free technical support those who purchased the license. So not only this is a deal, you know, it's you got to grab it before it goes. Not only are you getting Windows source code, but you're also getting 12,000 pages of their technical documentations, and also on top of that, a one-time only offer of 500 hours for free technical support for all you who purchase a license. Go out there, grab it. On QVC now, item code 1347.
Today's special value.
Yeah. And now we have Sandra, who would like to talk about her purchase of Windows source code.
Well, I think it's fantastic. It's really changed my life.
My nephew said I should buy one of these, but I didn't know if I should, and then I did. It's, oh my fucking god. It's great.
It owns ours.
This is weird, though.
It is. Just,
so, they've got the European antitrust ruling going on,
yeah,
where they're going to be fined millions every day if they don't play ball, basically. So they said, right, okay, tell you what, we'll open up our source code. And the European Union said, yes, thank you. Finally, this is what we're talking about. And then Microsoft say, yeah, we'll open it up for a fee, an undisclosed fee. How much is this going to cost?
$1 gazillion.
Yeah. They could just set the price on this to whatever they wanted and say, right, we've complied with your ruling. The source code is available. It costs a shitload, I admit, but it's available, so stop fining us.
Oh, God.
They should put it on eBay.
Yeah.
Reserve $1 billion.
Oh, man. Yeah, fucking thank God they're releasing it.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
I mean, let's just say it's already out there. Okay.
Well, I think you've seen it. Yeah.
Yes.
I may have, I may not have. I cannot confirm nor deny.
The existence of Hacker Voice Radio.
Yes. I'm not sure, it might have been a dream.
Also, another question is, how will you be able to compile the code? And is this purely for development purposes? I'm thinking... I'm just trying to think, how the hell are they trying to market this kind of shit? I don't know. And it must be that they're trying to, you know, get through that ruling and stop being fined a lot. But you don't hear much how much they're actually... in the back... let's say a year or two, there was a lot of stuff about how rich Microsoft is and how well they were doing. Don't hear that much now, do you?
No, you're right, actually. Yeah.
That's because they're doing not very well. And, yeah. And also, it doesn't appear to be actually valid in countries where they're not going to be sued by that. So, yeah.
So it's pretty clear they are only doing it to get past this.
Yeah.
Yeah, bastards.
And it doesn't actually state which source code they're going to release. So it could be like 3.1 source code. There you go.
Oh, don't make it Windows ME, for Christ's sake.
It's about four lines.
Yeah, written in BASIC.
Yeah. All right. Don't this 10. BASIC. Trust me, BASIC could rule.
If Windows loads, then crash.
Then go to 10. 10. Crash. Go to 10.
2 lines. Yeah. Oh, Christ.
print, there has been an error.
Tough balls. By Windows 2000. Be interesting to see where this goes. Yeah. They are just doing it to get out of the...
Yeah.
According to this, 2 million euros per day fine that they've been threatened with.
Yeah.
Which is $2.36 million. Quite a lot of cash, even for you, Mr. Gates.
Yes.
It's not the kind of money you want to be hemorrhaging day on day, so...
He's going to be pissing money for the...
Yeah.
No, not really.
I just hope something cool comes of it. Like in one of these countries where they do have to release it, some clever bastard gets hold of it and, you know, makes a stable version of Windows, maybe. Ooh! That'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, it won't be very, very long before this thing gets out on the street. And when it does, I already know there's obviously work and actually... I mean, I'm actually thinking Windows software isn't actually that terrible, if you see what I mean. It's really good for what it does right now. But I've always said it should be open source. Because of what Microsoft have done by closing off all the competitors and making everything compatible to extent with driver-wise and stuff like that, and really killing off any sort of, you know, development. But what people have done is developed on the source code that they have got to improve their, to make a custom operating system, such as what I've done with mine, XP. And I really think that's going to be the next step, is when the source code gets out onto the shelves, it might be Vista source code, it might be XP source code, but it's probably going to be, I'm thinking NT, somewhere along the line of NT, from like 3.5 to maybe 5.0 or 4.0. Once that gets out in the wild, somebody out there is going to create, not a clone, because there wouldn't be any sense in making a clone, because you'd be starting from something shit, you'd end up with something shit, you know, you've got no improvement there. Your work's wasted. I think somebody's going to be out there making a really hardcore free version of Windows, and I think that's what they're fearing. Don't know if you agree with me on that one, but...
Well, you never know how these things are going to go. Yeah, I think they are keeping it closed due to fear of competition. That's... I really do think that's why they've done it all these years.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, that's,
well, it's the model,
yeah,
of their business.
Mm.
You know, and from every angle, I don't know if you've done any kind of MS certifications or anything like that, but if you go through that process, through the machine, you see how much it's how the business works when you get really close into how Microsoft works, even from like the kind of distributor partnership level. Through Microsoft certifications with other distributing companies and stuff like that, you really do see how Microsoft works, and not only them, loads of other companies, Cisco, you know, Trent, everything like that. You know, they're all. I mean, bottom line is profit. You know, let's not joke around. It's going to be profit at the end of the day. It's nothing else.
Well, that's why the business is, you know. That's all it is. That's why they get out of bed in the morning.
Exactly.
So, can't really blame them for it, but it is a bit of a pain in the arse.
Yeah. An article I just picked up on from PC World.
Where in the world?
PC World.
Special offers this week down at PC World. Buy this 1 GB memory stick for only $29.99.
Works for only 2 days, and then you've got to take it back.
Not on Linux or Mac OS X.
Only compatible with Windows SP, XP, SP2.
Yes. And if you're listening, PC World, you owe us money for that, bitches. Yeah.
Oh, we actually,
advertised you.
Only that's another thing that pisses me off with XP. You know the whole USB stuff, USB 1 and USB 2.
Uh-huh.
And how you can only get USB 2 if you upgrade to SP 2 by, and you can only upgrade to SP 2 legitimately if you have a legitimate copy of XP.
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody knows the fucking exploit for that, which we, no need to go into now. But the thing that pisses me off is that manufacturers sell USB to devices, but they're not backward compatible. For that reason, you have to have a legitimate copy for that device to work. Not all ones, but like I don't know, like things that are licensed through big companies like IBM and stuff like that. You know the things I'm talking about, like webcams, fingerprint recognition readers, proprietary hardware, kind of like USB phones and stuff like that, just general hardware, will not run on your computer if you don't have USB 2. It just simply won't run. Doesn't mean that it can't run. It can, unless you hack it, but that's another thing. It won't, because you mostly have an illegal copy, and you can't get any support from the company if you have USB 1. Which is major suck sores for people that don't run Windows and run Linux, you know?
Yeah.
So it just, like, kills a huge portion of their customers. No matter if they've got a copied version of Windows or not, it just kills them off. So you're forced into upgrading. That's just another example of what they do.
Bastards.
Yeah, I didn't know if you actually knew about that one.
No. Basically, long story short, no. I didn't know you could only get XP 2 on a fully authenticated XP system.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's loads of ways to get around it. One of which is to get a hacked version of the patch of SP 2. The service pack, sorry, SP 2. Another way is to basically change your serial. You know, that's fucking documented globally around the internet, ways of how to do it, ways of how to get either legitimate copies that haven't been, registered, or ways to create your own and stuff like that. Mm. And obviously, their licensing ways as well. That's globally recorded, and that's another way of them making money. Different ways they license stuff with open licenses, license per seat and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is also buggery for small companies and you know, general startup people that want to do their own thing. So
couldn't you get a hold of one of these weird copies of Windows XP that's like the corporate edition, where you don't have to validate the serial code?
The thing is, the serial code is an open license that's registered to an organization. And what happens is they have to pay for how many copies they've installed. So they have to cover themselves under that. But yes, you can purchase a machine that is under an open license and then upgrade. Or you can change the serial code of that XP to an open license and then upgrade. Obviously, if you've got permission to do so by the license holder.
Sounds like a bloody minefield, to be honest with you.
It is, yeah. It is. And then, obviously, another thing you've got is people that are actually stealing serial numbers. And these are actually the corporations, the distributors that sell Microsoft machines, such as mainly laptops. What they do is, if you don't know, on the bottom of laptops, there's like a little sticker, and it's always been there with the serial number of the license held on the machine. What they've done is just turn the laptop over, written down the serial codes, and then sold them off or use them themselves. So when that laptop reaches the end consumer, the guy tries to register with Microsoft or upgrade or get the latest patch or download something that requires a genuine, you know, check.
Yeah.
Finds out that their computer is not genuine and, you know, then is literally buggered up the arse. So, yeah, it is a minefield, as you just, you know, described.
It's pretty mad. It's, I don't know a lot about that myself, because I was unfortunately tricked into actually buying XP.
Yeah.
Which I've gone on about on past episodes. I'm still not happy about it. No. The operating system's fine. You know, yeah. It runs all right. It hasn't really crashed. Does everything I want to do. But it cost a fucking shitload.
Yeah, yeah.
£200? Jesus Christ, bananas. That's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot for an average guy to go and shell out down PC World.
Yeah.
Urgh. God, that must have been 3 years ago and I still haven't got over it.
Well, it just shows, man. Doesn't it?
I'm not upgrading to Vista. Screw Vista. They've had enough money out of me.
Yeah.
I don't care if Vista comes with a special attachment that sucks my knob. They're still not getting any money.
No. Apparently for Scobie, they did, so... Yeah. I'm just messing around.
He spent loads of money with them blade servers and weird shit like that.
Yeah. Noob.
If you're listening to Scobie, get in touch, man. Say hello. Drop on sometime.
Yeah, definitely.
For you listener guys who may or may not know, our old chum Scobie has left us for the time being to go and do some software development. He's doing some what sounds like really cool games development.
Oh,
he's got major stuff going on. It won't be seen for many, many years. I think the alpha of what his plan is due to be out in about 2008, 2009, something way off like that. But from what he's told us, it does sound damn cool. So hopefully, when the guy gets something going on, you might get an exclusive. Could be 4 years from now, but stay tuned.
If we're still around.
Yeah, it's a long time, man.
Yeah. God, could you imagine, like... This is episode 2,500.
God, we'll have walking sticks and incontinence pants and all kinds of things.
Oh, just poop my pants.
Bloody Vista! I hate Vista! £5 it cost me to upgrade.
From
out of my pension!
Did you know that Asda are selling wedding gowns? Wedding dresses for like £60.
Yeah, because I read The Sun the other day.
Yeah.
Highbrow intellectual newsreader that I am.
Exactly.
I read The Sun. I like to shake it up a bit with the newspapers. You can't trust any of them, so I just buy a random one on different days. And this day was The Sun. And it was, it was an article of how to get married for less than like £200 or something like that.
Yeah,
and it had a picture of a bride and a groom, and it was like, ring, £4 from George of Asda, tie, £2, and this poor woman standing there in a bloody bridal gown, what was meant to be, and it's like, skirt, £20, bustier, £30, veil, £10 from George of Asda. I just thought, oh, this can't be the day she's always dreamed of since she was a little girl, and... You know, where did you get your dress? George of Asda. Oh, you poor cow. That's just so wrong.
I am George of Asda. Here to
Sir George of Asda!
Here to bring you shitty products for the poor of the British nation.
Thank you, George of Asda. You have saved our people.
I remember we were having a laugh at that. Was that during... the time we were in the US or something.
Yeah, I think so. I think we were just half drunk. Yeah. And
I am George of Asda, here to free the nation. With my shield and my sword, that cost me £20 and £30.
See how I cut down prices with my mighty sword. Oh dear. Because it does just sound like an old noble name from Robin Hood stories.
Exactly.
The Sheriff of Nottingham versus George of Asda. Oh, man. I wonder if there is a town or a village out there somewhere right out in the sticks of Europe or the USA called Asda. That'd be ace.
Yeah. And you could say, I am George of Asda.
Yeah.
Get yourself one of those fake fake knighthoods.
Yeah.
So you'd be Sir George of Asda. That would be a laugh.
Oh, we've got to find out. I'm going to do some quiet Google searching in the background because that's piqued my interest now. How the hell would you search for that? Asda's just going to bring up,
loads of
you
shit.
Know, Walmart and Asda and George of Asda and crap like that. Let's see what it has for Asda. Asda, yeah. Australian Sports Drug Agency. Okay.
Asda. So that's where they get their cheap prices from.
Yeah, Australian drugs. I'm going to do that some other time.
Yeah.
There must be a place out there. If not, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you've got loads of places in the States that have copied names from the UK.
Yeah.
It's like they arrived there and went, we came from York. What can we call this place? New York.
Yeah.
Apart from the Dutch beat them to it and they called it New Amsterdam. They weren't very original either. But you got Birmingham, Alabama, and all kinds of places. I was in Australia.
And London and, as well.
Is there a London over there?
Yeah, there is a London.
Oh,
I mean, do you remember when?
Stupid.
Do you remember when we were outside smoking a fag and some geezer was walking past with that room service lady, and she said, "Oh, that guy's from those guys are from London," and he was like, "Oh, cool, London, just down the south." I'm like, No, UK London, not US London.
Yeah, it's just down the south to the airport.
Yeah.
And you go to Heathrow, and that's London. Yeah. When I was in Australia, where was it? Brisbane, I think. I was actually standing underneath a sign one day, a big road sign near a motorway. I looked up. It said Ipswich, 20 miles. And that really just did my head in.
Exactly.
I'd looked at it for 10 minutes being really confused. I was thinking, that can't be right.
Surely they must have got that wrong. They missed a few zeros on there or something.
They can't afford the zeros, you know.
Maybe like 20, 100,000 miles. But
yeah.
Not 20 miles.
Oh, I did my nut in that, did. It's such a simple explanation. They've got a place called Ipswich. But I saw it and I thought, hang on. I'm in Australia. That can't be right. Oh.
Wait, where am I?
Yeah, what's going on? Freak out.
I'm spinning, man.
I wish I could blame it on drugs, but I can't. I wasn't on any.
And you weren't drunk?
Probably half drunk at the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's Australia.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, listeners, if you know of a place called Asda anywhere in the world, please tell us.
Yes, please. Send us an email to radio@hackervoice.co.uk and we will be more than grateful.
Yes. Especially if you know anyone called George who lives there.
Anyway, in completely unrelated news,
back on topic,
giants take on badware. Forget about the fight against spyware. Technology giants Google, Lenovo Group, and Sun Microsystems are funding a non-profit effort to combat something called badware. A new term for all the nasty spyware and computer virus. How many new fucking names do they have to make up for it? Like, you know, spyware, adware, now
spamware,
badware, really, really badware, and computer viruses that users never wanted to install on their computers. They should just hand out free Ubuntu CDs. That might just speed things up a little. But anyway, let's keep on topic. the Stop Badware Coalition, another very stupid name, on Wednesday today, will launch a stopbadware.org website. For more information, visit that, which will be modulated on the Customer Reports web watch site and will be run by staff of about 12, operating out of two prominent university departments, Harvard University, Berkman Center for Internet and Social and Internet and Society in Cambridge and Massachusetts, and University of Oxford Internet Institute in the UK. So there is a UK bit in there as well, thank God.
Hooray!
The site will compile a list of companies that stick computers with annoying pop-ups, spyware, and other malicious code, one of which please put on the list, 180 solutions, and will give users a central place to get information on the growing problem. This is a problem that's been around for years. Why is this happening now? Please tell me, someone.
Because it's getting worse than ever.
I assume so.
I think. It's simple as that.
Yeah. Root of the problem is the operating system that you are running. And basically, the summary is, for too long, many scrupulous companies have been making millions of dollars affecting our computers with malicious spyware, blah, blah, blah. The first thing we need to attempt to do is create a clearinghouse based on the web where people can find and tell their stories about the experiences with the badware companies. And that's basically it. And it's a step in the right direction. I'm glad to see this stuff. But honestly, in my opinion, way, way overdue. Way overdue, guys.
Very true.
Yeah. And
I'm glad it's here, though.
From the fresh news. Yeah, yeah.
It's like you say, it's long overdue. It's bloody late.
Yeah.
But better late than never. I remember I used to rent a room from a family who owned the house there. I rented a room from them. And the guy, the father of the family, came to me one day. He said, God, I nearly dropped my own name then. He said, Planet Lave. Because that's how he knew me. Yeah. You know about computers, don't you? I said, yeah. You know, I know enough to get by, mate. What's wrong? He said, well, look, don't tell the missus, all right? But I was on the internet the other day, and I went on this porn site. And now, every time I load Internet Explorer, it goes to that porn site straight away. Now, she's not seen it yet, but shit. You know, she's at work. She's coming home in about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I can't for the life of me figure out how to get out of it and how to stop this thing from going on. Mm. So I said, well, fair enough, mate. Look, come on, let's have a look. Right. Yep, all it's done is change your internet start page.
Yeah.
Okay, what we'll do, we'll get some virus software. We'll do a scan.
Yeah.
Nope, you're clean. We'll do an adware scan. You're clean. It's just done a little trick where it changes your default start page.
Yeah.
You're okay. We'll change it to Microsoft.com. Boom, there you go. It's like, oh, fuck, wow, you've really saved me. Oh, that's brilliant. And
was it a decent porn website?
No, it's just one of these things where it's like, see big tits now, and loads of pop-ups come up. And then by the time you've closed all the pop-ups, and more have come up, and it's like, it's a total junk adware spam kind of thing.
So thank God this is here.
Yeah, for this guy, he was pretty much a typical end user. He'd bought a computer because he'd been sucking into believing that his family needed one. You know, you can use it to teach the kids education and spelling with, children's education games. You can use it to balance your home books and all this, and you can use it to research things and go on the internet and find out stuff. And here it is, a family computer, and it goes on one porn site.
Fucks the whole thing up.
One porn site that he admitted to.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wow. And now it's got all this filth on it. It's like, man, I can't let the kids use this because it's all zoo sex, pops up and all kinds of stuff. I just really felt sorry for the guy, because he must be like the average Joe of computer users who goes down PC World or wherever and says, right, I want a PC.
Yeah.
And they sell it to him. They don't tell him anything about Windows. They don't tell him anything about the internet, you know, or what the hell is waiting for you out there. So it's long overdue. There's a lot of average people out there on the internet just trying to use it for normal things.
And
they shouldn't have to put up with this crap.
And just another personal kind of story about me, and the reason why it's so overdue is around about when I was about 15, 16, me and a friend of mine started a company. It was called askusforfree.com. And it was a one of those shit, I need some help websites. Mm. And we were offering free support, free live support, as well as email support to anybody that needed stuff like this. And it was like on a daily basis. They would never say what they did, but it was fucking obvious. They went on a porn site, it downloaded the dialer, and it did this and it did that, and it just, you know, it fucked them up. So if that was back then, and you know, quite a few years ago, available, that would have helped a lot of people out. It is way overdue, but thank God it's here. So go and check out and spread the news to all your family members, friends, or whatever that are running Windows. The website is stopbadware.org, and it's a free non-for-profit organization.
Damn good stuff.
Yeah. And we're nearly up for time, so I guess we'll close off unless you have any more memorable stories.
Any more cock jokes?
Yeah.
No, I'm good for now, I think. One last piece of news.
Sure.
I'm just going to throw this in. This is something I mentioned to you in IRC just before we came on. Sad news for me personally is that the actor Chris Penn died today. If you don't know who Chris Penn is, he played Nice Guy Eddie in Reservoir Dogs and always seemed like a bloody nice bloke.
Yeah.
Basically, in any of the documentaries I saw him interviewed as himself, he seemed like a really cool guy. So rest in peace, Nice Guy Eddie. And if you've never seen Reservoir Dogs, first of all, shame on you.
Shame.
And second of all, go to HMV or Amazon or wherever your purchasing place of choice is and get the DVD, because it's a fucking masterpiece. Excellent. So there.
Yeah. Definitely acquire it.
Hell yeah.
I've actually got to show you a little spoof of Reservoir Dogs that me and a friend of mine did as a little film project. It was called Reservoir Slobs. And the title says it all. Anyway, I'd like to finish off on a little Flash animation / song that has been around for quite some time on the internet. It's about prostitutes or a prostitute girl. So I hope people will enjoy this, and thank you for listening. If you need to get in touch with us, contact us at radio@hackervoice.co.uk.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Good night.
Ta-ta.
Prostitute. I hate you. Put down the Oreo crackers and quit doing the sex. This is for you. Hey, girl, if it weren't for you, every day after school I got nothing to do. I went to your house like every day. Your stupid face, cause you gave me some play. But I didn't like it, wasn't very good. Now you are prostitute of neighborhood. And chocolate cake and chocolate pie, that is how you get very big thighs. And I do not like your very big thighs. Besides, you have been with too many guys. And I do not like your cottage cheese thighs. Besides, you have been with too many guys. Stop it, stop it, stop it. You this sex, you need to stop. Every guy is not lollipop. If you turned to a dinosaur when you did the sex every day, it would be the Tyrannosaurus Rex. If when you did the sex I got a nickel, I would have enough to buy a new tricycle.
Then I could buy a brand new pair of penny shoes. But look up, bitch, you might get HIQ. Now you are prostitute who tells lies. Got no friends, so you sit there and cry. Chubby chin, chubby cheek, chubby thigh. You have been beat too many guys. I do not like your cottage cheese thigh. Besides, you have been beat too many guys. And I do not like your poo-poo thigh. Besides, bitch, you have been beat too many guys. Stop it, stop it, stop it. You eat chocolate cake and chicken. You spend too much time in the kitchen. You touch my hot stick, then I'm with you dinner. Then you try to move into the Mrs. Winners. You should give me turkey breast and turkey leg. Bitch, you should enroll with Julie Clegg. You know who you are, and it's not a surprise. Besides, bitch, you have been with too many guys. And I do not like your cottage cheese thigh. Besides, you have been with too many guys. And I do not like your poo-poo thighs. Besides, you have been with too many guys. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it, bitch, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it, bitch, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it, bitch, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Not 10 guys, not 18 guys, not 2.5 guys, not 100 guys, not